guys, two more rounds of spring outlooks. I know you're probably thinking right now, dude, he has done a whole lot of these spring outlooks. He's been doing them for the past few weeks. We're getting there. We are getting there. But you're not going to like what I have to say just right now. After those spring outlooks, we're going to talk about the same teams over again, but spring football results. So spring football here at Pigskin Frenzy is still going to continue just for a few more weeks and a few more episodes as we wrap up everything. Right now, we have two more rounds, two more weeks of spring outlooks before we go to the next few weeks of spring football results. This week is going to be kind of a doozy. A lot of spring games happened this past weekend. I liked some. There's stuff I didn't like about those teams. We're going to get into that in the next few weeks. But right now, we're going to talk about our spring outlooks for this coming up Saturday and for next Saturday and May 3rd. That's the final spring game day for college football season for going into 2024. With that being said, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful and pretty warm Tuesday afternoon in Illinois. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris, and whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, or listening on Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. Now, X, Instagram, and Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You're going to get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college football and NFL football on X. You're going to get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's college football trivia question, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, if you want to know all the platforms that we're on that I just mentioned, the best way to go about that is go to my website, the www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. website. Go and you know look at that website, click on platforms. There's a home and about me page. You can go look at me and know about me more on that page, as well as our affiliations page on our partners, which brings me to that. Guys, if you want if you just want to look great, look stylish facial hair wise and grooming wise, go to the Beard Club. That's right. Go to the Beard Club and get their beard growthing kits. You're not going to be disappointed. Not only just beard growthing kits, you can get products. You can get body wash. You can get beard and face wash, beard balm, beard oil. You can get shampoo and conditioner, 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. There's a boar bristle brush and a loofah you can get to scrub your body when, you're using those products. So Beard Club has it all. The beard growthing kits are where it's at, guys. As the young kids say nowadays, they absolutely cook. They cook. So, men out there who are listening to my show, and significant others to those men who are listening to my show right now, go to the Beard Club right now. Go to my website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can click on the affiliations page there. Click on the logo. Click on the logo. You will lead you right to the Beard Club. You can get those beard growth kits and those beard grooming kits, as well as other products as you need. And go to my social media, X, Instagram, and Facebook, and click on my link tree. There you will get Beard Club products, and you will go to the Beard Club Spring 25. You can use that code and you can get a discount on your products. The Beard Club, it is where grooming needs are met. That's our proud partner. Thank you for partnering with Pigskin Frenzy as always. Guys, college football day today. We are rocking and rolling. And by that, I mean we have two more weeks of spring outlooks. We have, we talked about a lot of other teams, including Alabama, including LSU, including North Carolina State, Clemson, Georgia Tech, UCF. We talked about a lot of those teams, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, Ole Miss last week. We are now getting into some more spring outlooks. And guys, there's some teams that we haven't talked about in our outlooks, but we'll probably mention them in the few weeks, as a brief honorable side notes of how they looked. I just didn't keep up with some of them because I thought they looked really, really well. And I thought they looked really, really well when I was keeping up with them, but I didn't really want to mention it on the show because it's like, I mean, for example, Georgia. Georgia played their spring game last weekend. I didn't really mention Georgia because there's not a lot that that they, you know, there's not a lot that they need to improve on. They're just going to get, they're just getting better and better right now. So Georgia right now, how I have it, is the team to look after and look out for in the SEC at the top right now. So that's just my honest thoughts on that. But let's go with some, a few teams, including two new teams who are coming into the SEC, leaving the Big 12, coming into the SEC. That's Texas and Oklahoma. We have one team that's going from the Pac-12 to the Big 10 out in Los Angeles in USC, and one sole independent. And that's a very interesting take there that we can talk about here at the end, and that's Notre Dame. We're going to get to Notre Dame at the last bit and the last part of everything, and where the Notre Dame fit in all this, especially conference realignment-wise. We could honestly do a whole episode on that, talk about where does Notre Dame fit in, but we're going to talk about our spring outlooks featuring these four teams. Just keep plugging into Pigskin Frenzy. That's all I got to say. Thank you, 3,100-plus listeners on audio and watching on YouTube. Again, thank you. We got a lot going on here, and I am excited about where Pigskin Frenzy's headed towards the future. So big thank you there. Guys, let's talk about spring outlooks. Let's dive into Texas. Let's talk about Texas. You're going to think, man, they're going to the SEC. They just got out of the college football playoff, a solid run going to the college football playoff. They beat Alabama last season. They lost one game to Oklahoma, but after they lost that one game to OU, they got progressively better and better and better. And when I just look at everything and see Texas, I'm thinking to myself, they really didn't lose a whole lot. They lost a little. They lost some good pieces on the defensive line, which is one of my outlooks on Texas about is on the defensive line. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But that defensive line, that they lost a little bit there, and they lost a couple key players throwing the ball, but they gained some players in the receiving end. By that I mean Isaiah Bond, transferred from Alabama. He was an Alabama starting wide receiver. Played really well throughout the season, and then ended up transferring to Texas right after the Rose Bowl game. So ended up transferring to Texas, but they got some players. I mean, Jonathan Brooks, they lost their running back in Jonathan Brooks. They lost a solid runner there, but they add some more pieces that who have played this past season. They return majority of their production from last season. They only lose a few players, Xavier Worthy being one of those. Are they tough losses? Sure, they're tough losses, but they only lose about a few players from last year's college football playoff team. That's it. They still got Quinn Ewers. He's back for his last season, his last go-round. Texas is looking like they are trying to gear up for another college football playoff run, which they could easily get in. It's a 12-team playoff. They can easily get in representing the SEC. So there's that, and you got, you know, one more shot at it. Texas looks like a good team all around on both sides of the ball. They were really explosive last year, especially after that Oklahoma loss. And now we look into it, and we're thinking, man, they can honestly make another run going in to this coming up season in the fall. So let's talk about Texas. Let's talk about what I kind of want to see from Texas and what I'm kind of looking for Texas. One is the defensive line. They lost Devondre Sweat. They lost Brian Murphy. Two big key pieces on that D line Texas has lost. Now, who are they going to get? And who's going to step up on the defensive line? That's my real question for coming up in the spring for, you know, this Saturday's spring game, but coming up for just going into the fall camp as well. Who steps up on the defensive front? You got Justice Finkley at the edge spot, junior player, out of Trustville, Alabama. Excuse me. And you have Justice Finkley there. He's a solid edge rusher. Played a lot last year, but his role could increase now that, especially in the front end on the line part of things, because Murphy and Sweat are both gone. So you can rotate him and switch him out hybridly on the line and on the edge. So Justice Finkley could be one guy that you could look at, to replace somebody like a Murphy or a Sweat. How about freshman edge player Colin Simmons? He could also be that hybrid option for you on the edge and up front in, you know, up front on the defensive line. Colin Simmons out of Dallas, Texas, freshman edge rusher. He could be an edge rusher. He could be up front and give and play physical against the offensive line. We just need to know who is going to be up front for the Texas Longhorns going into this 2024 season as we, you know, move forward and keep going. As I look through the roster, there's a lot of edge players, a lot of talent on this Texas team. Another one that you can mention is Aaron Bryant. Aaron Bryant, transfer from Southern Miss. He played at Southern Miss. He's a sophomore player. He went to South Haven High School. Aaron Bryant, he's he's 6'2", 307 pounds, and he was a freak of nature at South Haven. I watched his highlights in high school. Aaron Bryant, watched him at Southern Miss. He did some really good things up front for the defensive front of side of things. And Aaron Bryant could be that option for Texas if you can build him up. Build him up more behind, you know, to replace a Murphy and a Sweat. So those are some names that I can think of that could honestly, you know, get the ball rolling on replacing a Sweat and a Murphy. That's Aaron Bryant, sophomore D lineman, freshman edge rusher Colin Simmons, and Justice Finkley, junior edge rusher, who could, you know, honestly bring it out, you know, bring it back and, you know, just, you know, replace a Sweat or replace a Murphy. Another one, Vernon Broughton, before we can move on really quick, Vernon Broughton, senior defensive lineman, played behind them last year. Now he is most likely going to see an increased role on the line. So those are some guys that could spark the defensive line after two huge losses to the NFL draft. And the NFL draft next week, guys, I'm going to promote it now. Again, I know you're tired of hearing me talk about the NFL draft and covering it, but I've been promoting it on Pigskin Frenzy on Thursdays. Stay tuned to the NFL draft coming up next week. But this week, we'll have a good special NFL episode before we, you know, have our draft special next week. So Vernon Broughton could be a good piece for that defensive line after Murphy and Bryant had declared and went to the NFL draft. So those are some of the names that I thought that could spark the defensive line. That's my first point about Texas and the defensive line is, about for the spring outlook is just spark that line. Try to get that defensive line sparked up again and make it a force to be reckoned with, especially going into the SEC against a lot of good teams that they're playing on their schedule. So that is that's just one part of their spring outlook. Another spring outlook is their tight end spot. And Jatavion Sanders, who is now obviously, he's not with us. He is in the NFL draft. He has gone to the NFL. And it's one of those things that you look at and you're thinking to yourself, okay, Jatavion Sanders, solid tight end. Honestly, it's like he's a good tight end, but he's not a big thing to replace, right? Oh, it's a big thing to replace when you're talking about Jatavion Sanders. Sanders was a solid player. Jatavion Sanders, junior tight end. He 6'4", 243 pounds. He brought a physical presence blocking and catching, in that offense with Quinn Ewers last season and for Steve Sarkisian last season. Jatavion Sanders going to the draft. He's going to be ranked among one of the top tight ends in the draft. Most likely a second round pick. Jatavion Sanders is. But look, Sanders, solid players. Who's going to replace him? That's the big question. Who's going to replace him? Like I said, you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, that's probably not, you know, that's probably nothing, you know, replacing somebody like him. And it is something. He's a solid football player. They need a tight end that could, you know, when they're running the football, block. And they need a tight end that could have a very physical presence catching the football as well. There's one guy that comes to mind, and he transferred from the University of Alabama. You're thinking to yourself, what? Really? Yeah, transferred from the University of Alabama, junior tight end, Amari Nye Black, tight end, 233 pounds, 6'4", number 8, Amari Nye Black, another Alabama player that transferred from the team. He could be a solid threat as a tight end. He most likely will start at tight end for Quinn Ewers, and he could be a very dynamic player in the offense for Quinn Ewers this season. So Amari Nye Black could be a solid player blocking. He could be a solid player catching and just running and route running even. If he throw and he runs a route, he's a solid route runner as a tight end as well. So I'm really high on Amari Nye Black. I think he could be a really good addition to Sarkisian's offense in 2024. So Amari Nye Black, that's one. That's just the start. That's just one. There's more tight ends we can add to the list for Texas as I'm scrolling through my notes right now. If I can find where I'm at with tight ends on our list. Sorry, excuse me. Gunnar Helm, senior tight end. That is another one. Senior tight end, Gunnar Helm. He rotated in and out with Jatavion Sanders last year. Gunnar Helm, he's a senior tight end. He could be a solid threat with Amari Nye Black as the 2024 season kicks off. He could be, you know, you can add Gunnar Helm because he's had some monster games as well. You can add Amari Nye Black, and those could be two good tight end and receiving threats at the same time, especially in a offensive system that is going to be very physical entering the SEC. So Gunnar Helm, his last season, he can make a big impression in Sark's offense this season. How about another one? Jordan Washington. Freshman tight end, he could add a little bit of spark. Number 84, he's 6'4", 240 pounds from Houston, Texas, Langham Creek High School. He could be a solid addition backing up Amari Nye Black and backing up Gunnar Helm, and to, you know, maybe even get some more playing time in the near future in the fall in this coming up season, and being a good addition to that offense, especially with Arch Manning most likely taking over the reins as starting quarterback in 2025. So Gunnar Jordan Washington, never too early to show what he can do. Just bring a spark on the tight end spot, and I think that's a big outlook for me with Texas. Who's going to bring a spark to the tight end spot besides Amari Nye Black? It could be Gunnar Helm, and it could be Jordan Washington as well. So another one, redshirt freshman Will Randall out of New Orleans. He played with Arch Manning, so that was honestly surprising. He played in Isidore Newman High School. Arch Manning and the Mannings all went to Newman in New Orleans, and he could be a solid threat as a redshirt freshman and as a good blocking threat in the offense. Will Randall could be. So he's 6'4", 238 pounds, solid player, played really, really well with Arch Manning in high school. So that's just another big part of, you know, what Texas could bring to the table and what I want to see from them and their outlook and what's the tight ends going to look like here in the spring and most likely in fall camp. So that's number two. That was one. That was two. Number three, last but not least, and I'll make this point quick because we got to move on. It's about to be 18 minutes within the show. We've been talking about Texas for a while. We got three more teams to discuss. What's the running back situation going to look like? Jonathan Brooks is gone. Jonathan Brooks, solid player. He played really, really well. But what's the running back situation going to look like? Who is going to take over the reins at running back? You know, at running back behind, Killian Robinson's gone. Jonathan Brooks, he was a solid player. He tore his ACL last part of the season. He's going to get drafted, though. He's been a solid player. He's gone. So who's going to take over and take the mantle as the starting running back and is going to provide a spark in that offense? The main guy you can look at, he played a little bit last year, that's C.J. Baxter. C.J. Baxter, running back number 4, 6'1", 218 pounds from Orlando, Florida, Edgewater High School. He is an absolute animal when it comes to running the football. A very good balanced back. He's got some power and got a blend of speed that will just, you know, rock you, right? C.J. Baxter, if you want 3 yards, he's going to give you 4, all right? So he's going to go the extra mile for you. So C.J. Baxter could be that good replacement to start off with, you know, come spring and in the season. Can't wait to see what they do Saturday at the running back spot. There's one more, Jarrett Gibson, freshman running back out of IMG Academy, Gainesville, Florida. Jarrett Gibson, freshman running back. He's 5'10", 211. He played really, really well at IMG Academy. He could be a solid threat in the running game as well. When you look at what Gibson did in IMG Academy, he was a solid threat. He was a solid threat, not just running the ball, but all-purpose yards as well. He can catch the ball. He can run a perfect wheel route. So go and watch Jarrett Gibson, some of his highlights. He's a solid player, and he can bring some of that to Texas. And I want to see if he can be brought into the fold in Sark's system on offense. Two more players at running back before we can, move on. But how about junior player out of Grand Prairie, Texas, Grand Prairie High School, Savion Redd, 5'10", 240 pounds, Savion Redd. He could be a solid player in the running game as well. Jarrett Gibson, Savion Redd, and CJ Baxter. I expect Baxter to probably start, but Savion Redd could be a solid option as well, not only running the football, but in the receiving game as well. He could be a blend of both. Two blends of both with Jarrett Gibson and Savion Redd, and a really good balanced back on the ground with CJ Baxter. Who's going to replace Jonathan Brooks? That's a really big question that you can ask, and you can find three guys right here that can easily do it. I want to see what the running back position is going to look like with that, and how do you replace Jonathan Brooks. That's my last outlook. How do you replace Jonathan Brooks, and who do you replace Jonathan Brooks with? It could be those three. You never know. That's my Texas outlook for the spring. Those are my 3 points, obviously, running back situation, tight end situation, and who's going to, step up and replace Murphy and Sweat on the defensive line as they went to the NFL draft. The spring game for the Texas Longhorns is coming up. It's this Saturday, the Orange and White Spring Game on Longhorn Network. Longhorn Network is about to go, unfortunately, due to the Texas Longhorns going to the SEC in 2024. So the Spring Game, Orange and White Spring Game, free of admission. If you want to go to it in Austin, April 20th, this Saturday at 2 Eastern, 1 p.m. Central on Longhorn Network and Longhorn Radio Network for the Texas Spring Game. You want to go cheer them on? Go cheer them on. And I'm going to, stay tuned this Saturday so I can see what Texas is going to do as they head to the SEC coming up in 2024. Let's talk about their counterpart, their rival, and let's talk about the Oklahoma Sooners, as they started off really, really well, had a last season undefeated season so far. They knocked off Texas, who eventually won the Big 12 and went to the playoffs. They had a really, really good, really good first few weeks and first half of the season. Then it started collapsing a little bit. They lost to Kansas. They lost in Bedlam to Oklahoma State. They lost a couple of games that they shouldn't have really lost. Those were two of them. One game they lost, and that was to end their season. That was the Alamo Bowl against Arizona. So that's one loss right there that they did not really want to have to end the season with. Players have entered the portal. Players have come in from the portal. Players have come in from recruiting. Oklahoma did not do bad in recruiting. They didn't do bad in the portal. They got a solid quarterback in Jackson Arnold. And that brings me to my first point about Oklahoma as their spring game approaches this Saturday. And that's Jackson Arnold, the development of Jackson Arnold. How can he be more developed? And that's a big question. He only started one full game, and that was against Arizona. So when you look at Jackson Arnold and you look at him and you think, man, this guy's not any good. It's his first game, man. It's his first game starting. He's starting a bowl game, a bowl game, an Alamo Bowl. About to be New Year's, by the way. Last game of the season, and he's starting his first ever collegiate game. He was solid in high school, really good player in high school. So just calm down if you think Jackson Arnold's not any good. Don't just calm down. You haven't really seen him play yet. I am not a big fan of people when they say, oh, look, this guy's not any good. He's not any good. He looks like a bust. How can you tell he's a bust? You can't tell if he's a bust because you haven't seen him play yet. You haven't seen him play. So when you look at him and you look at him and you just look at his stature and you think, oh, he's not any good. Have you seen him throw a football yet in college, in a college game? No. So we really can't sit there and say, oh, he's bad. He's a freshman. He had six turnovers. He was responsible for six turnovers. But guess what? He's a freshman. I'm pretty sure Jackson Arnold, and I believe in Jackson Arnold enough, and I believe in Brent Venables coaching enough, and their OC's coaching enough to just sit and say, hey, Jackson Arnold is going to be a problem and a force to be reckoned with in the SEC in the near future. So that's my honest thoughts. Who is going to develop him? Who's going to develop him, and who is going to, keep on coaching him and developing him into making better decisions and causing less turnovers? That's my number one thought. The development of Jackson Arnold. I want to see where his development's at and how he's doing. So that's one. That's one big thing for Jackson Arnold. Number two, running the football. There's a lot of guys who can run the football. Who could that be going into the 2024 season? Who's going to run the football for him, and who's going to run the football for him well? Javonte Barnes could be one of them. He's 207 pounds, 6 foot, junior running back out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Solid player. He played a lot last year. He could probably be the starting running back going into this season, but you could also need to pick it up, but have some hard aggression when you run. Have a hard running team, a solid running team that makes you think, dude, I don't want to play against this team because I got to stop the run, and their running game is just tough to stop. That's what I want to see from OU. I haven't seen much of it the past couple of seasons. Javonte Barnes could pick it up. I want to see where Caleb Hicks is at, running back number 0, 5'11", 216 pounds out of Denton, Texas, from Ryan High School in Denton, Texas. So I want to see redshirt freshman running back Caleb Hicks, how he can, blend in behind Javonte Barnes at running back. So that's just two big things right there that I want to see, from Oklahoma, the running back, the aggression at running back. Can they become an aggressive running team once more? And the development of Jackson Arnold. Final thing. Who steps up besides just Billy Bowman Jr. in the secondary? That's what I want to see. Billy Bowman Jr., electric fine player, senior player out of Denton, Texas, Ryan High School. Defensive back, senior, 5'10", 191 pounds. Billy Bowman Jr. was going to be an interesting prospect going into the 2025 NFL draft. Billy Bowman Jr., solid football player. He's a solid player. I want to see who could be that guy besides him and who can make an impact beside him besides just Billy Bowman Jr. How about Robert Spears Jennings, defensive back, junior, 6'1", 219 pounds out of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Broken Arrow High School. He can be a solid player who can back up what Billy Bowman Jr. is doing in the secondary. I like Robert Spears Jennings a lot. I want to see what he could probably do besides Billy Bowman Jr. So those are my main outlooks for Oklahoma. I mean, the development of Jackson Arnold, who is going to step up and have that hard aggression at running the football. Javonte Barnes could be it. Caleb Hicks could also be it. And who's going to step up in the secondary besides Billy Bowman Jr.? Can Robert Spears Jennings be that guy? Can it be Justin Harrington, the six-year senior out of Raleigh, North Carolina, 6'3", 219 pounds. Going to be Justin Harrington. It could be him. Who knows? Let's see what happens in the spring outlook. Those are the things that I want to see from Oklahoma, and I want to see do well in their spring game, which is their spring game. Their spring game is Saturday, April 20th, the spring game, Norman, Oklahoma, 2 Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, Saturday, April 20th in Norman, Oklahoma. Guys, go and go see it. Go see it and go cheer on your Sooners. So that is, what I'm trying to see and what I am, trying to look into for Oklahoma. Another one is, as we, move on from the SEC, is going into the Big Ten, and that's going into USC, a new team going from the Pac-12 to the SEC. And that is USC going from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. So one thing that I want to look at when I look at USC, and one thing that I want to just take a look at with USC is three big things. Caleb Williams is not there. They lost a few pieces on defense. Bear Alexander is entering the transfer portal. A lot of guys coming from the portal, going into the portal. And it's just a lot going on with USC. But one big thing that I want to start off with USC going into the Big Ten is what is their defense going to look like? What are they going to look like on defense overall? Alex Grinch is no longer there. They have a new coordinator there at defense. What is their defense going to look like overall? Can their defense create a spark, and can their defense stop anyone? Has their defense improved? That's the number one thing I want to see. Overall, I'm going to add two more things, but that's the main thing I want to see from USC. That's the number one thing. Is their defense going to be much improved? Number two, as I wrap, go through these quickly. Number two, the development of Miller Moss. I want to see how he's going to do after being behind Caleb Williams for the past two seasons. How is he going to do leading into a spring camp and going into fall as they prepare for a hard opener in Las Vegas against LSU? How is that going to look with Miller Moss? Miller Moss played really, really well in the Holiday Bowl against Louisville. They beat Louisville pretty good. How is that going to look, with Miller Moss? So how is that going to look? Miller Moss, the development of him behind Caleb Williams, the full-on development of Miller Moss. That's number two. And number three, who helps Miller Moss? That's a real good big question. Brendan Rice is gone. Brendan Rice is gone. You have Taj Washington, who's most likely gone. You got Zion Branch still there. You got Jacoby Lane, two good receivers who were there that I can honestly say who could be a good threat for Miller Moss in USC's offense. So watch out, Big Ten. Zion Branch is a solid football player, especially on kickoff returns. So you're going to have to figure out a way to defend that. So those are two guys that I can look at for the spring and what I can look for, going in to, it's going into football, right? So Zion Branch, Jacoby Lane, those could be two solid receivers, sophomore receivers that could help out Miller Moss in the receiving area for USC. So those are my three things. I know that was pretty quick for USC, but that's what I really want to see from USC. Is the defense going to be much improved, the development of Miller Moss, and who's going to help out Miller Moss after Taj Washington and Brendan Rice are no longer there at USC. They have left with Caleb Williams. So what's USC going to look like overall? And that's what I am curious about with my spring outlook on them. So that's pretty much it for USC. Their spring game is free of admission. It is this Saturday, 12 p.m. local time. It is 4 Eastern, I'm sorry, 3 Eastern, obviously, 3 Eastern, 2 Central time on the Pac-12 Network, and it's going to be 12 p.m. L.A. time this Saturday. Spring game, free of admission. Go out into the Coliseum in Los Angeles and see USC spring football this Saturday. So that's USC. Last one before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, and this is Notre Dame going from the SEC to the Big Ten to the independent. So independent, and let's talk about this for a little bit. Notre Dame, and this is a big one for me. When I look at Notre Dame, they had a solid season, played Ohio State really close, had some good wins, a good win against USC, beat them badly, lost to Louisville. They had an up-and-down season, beat Duke in a close one. They looked good in midseason, but then kind of fell off a little bit in the later part of the season. But that's okay. They played in a solid Oregon State team, a solid Oregon State team in the Sun Bowl, won, and ended up having a successful finish to their season in the Sun Bowl with Marcus Freeman. Marcus Freeman's entering his third season. as Notre Dame head coach, and he is looking to make an impact for the college football playoff coming up in the season. So three things before we get out of here with Pigskin Frenzy, three things for Notre Dame before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy and wrap it up. Well, number one, who replaces Audric Estime at running back? Solid running back Audric Estime was. Who is going to pick up the load that Audric Estime left behind? He is a top running back prospect in the draft. Who's going to be and carry that mantle behind Audric Estime? There's two guys that you may remember from last season. I've talked about them. Jeremiah Love, running back, 6 foot, sophomore, 196 pounds. And then there's Jabrian Payne. Jabrian Payne, 5'9", 203 pounds, a junior, from Cincinnati, Ohio. So Jeremiah Love, Jabrian Payne, they could be a force to be reckoned with. Jabrian Payne and Jeremiah Love could be forces to be reckoned with in the running game and replacing Audric Estime this season. So you have two rotating backs there. I want to see what they can do. I want to see if they can be good and top-notch replacements for Audric Estime. What is the O-line going to look like? Joe Alt no longer there. You got Joe Alt, who was a solid player and solid guy who blocked for Sam Hartman last season and played really, really well. First round draft choice, probably the first offensive lineman taken off the board coming up next week. So who do you have to replace him? That's a big key there. Who do you have to replace him? There's one guy that you can look at, and his name is Amil Wagner, 6'6", 292 pounds, junior out of Yellow Springs, Ohio, Wayne High School. Solid football player. He can be a good player to beef up on that O-line to help protect new quarterback Riley Leonard coming in from Duke, transferring in from Duke. How about Joe Otting? Joe Otting, offensive lineman, 6'3". 297 pounds, sophomore from Topeka, Kansas. He is a solid player, and I watched him in high school. He could be a next big thing on Notre Dame's offensive lineman. One more, Ashton Craig, offensive lineman, 6'4", 308 pounds, junior out of Lawrenceburg, Indiana. He could be a solid choice to help, fill some of the void that Joe Alt has left after entering the NFL draft and just to protect Riley Leonard. So that's number two for Notre Dame. And number three, how's that offense going to look? I don't know if you've heard this, and I'm pretty sure everybody has heard it. They hired Mike Dimbrock, LSU offensive coordinator, now Notre Dame offensive coordinator, going back to South Bend to coach with Marcus Freeman. Offensive coordinator Mike Dimbrock is now calling the plays in Notre Dame. That's the big thing. And what's their offense going to look like? How are they going to look on the offense? How's their play calling going to look? Are they going to have an explosive offense like LSU did last season? Because their offense was explosive last season and the year prior, and as well as Cincinnati's offense. So Mike Dimbrock's been a solid coach on the offensive side of things. And how's Notre Dame's going to look? Is that trend going to continue? And can we expect an offense that's going to be really, really solid come 2024 and come in the spring game? In the offseason, especially in the spring game this Saturday. So those are my three things for Notre Dame. Who replaces Joe Alt on the O-line? How's their offense going to really, really look? And can Jabrian Payne and Jeremiah Love take up the mantle and take up the spark that Audric Estime has left at the running back position? That's what I want to see for Notre Dame in the spring. Their spring game is this Saturday. Blue and gold game this Saturday. Obviously, this Saturday, blue and gold game at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central, streaming on Peacock. If you want to watch it on Peacock, you can watch it on Peacock, free of admission. Obviously, you can go get tickets. Most likely, it'll be free of admission. Going to be awesome. Blue and gold game for Notre Dame this Saturday, April 20th on Peacock. Guys, that was our spring outlook for Texas, Oklahoma, USC, and Notre Dame, and we are out of time. A big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. Instagram, Facebook, and X, all you have to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like the pages there. You're going to get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You are going to get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, big thank you again for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, don't forget www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com on the website. You can click on my link tree as well. Also, thank you to our partners at the Beard Club. Go to the Beard Club, get your products, discount code SPRING25, and you will get amazing products with the Beard Club. It's where your grooming needs will be met. So thank you to the Beard Club for everything that you guys do. Now, Thursday, stay tuned to Pigskin Frenzy, NFL edition of Pigskin Frenzy on Thursday. We're going to talk about what teams need and want as we inch closer to the NFL draft in 2024 next Thursday in Detroit and before next Thursday's draft special of Pigskin Frenzy. That's next week, this Thursday. We're going to talk about the teams' wants and needs for the NFL draft this Thursday on Pigskin Frenzy. So until Thursday, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will see you then for an NFL edition of Pigskin Frenzy. For everybody out there, please and always, stay the course.